Good evening. I thank you for the invitation to open up the scriptures this evening. We're going to look at a scene in the story of the life of Joseph. We could please turn to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. If you were to title tonight's message, it would be, "If when your name is called, will you be ready?" When your name is called, will you be ready? Genesis chapter 41 will begin in verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard said of thee that thou can understand dreams and interpret them." Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of a river. Behold, there came out of the river seven cows, fat-fleshed, well-favored, and they fed in the meadow. Behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored cows did eat up the first seven fat cows. And when they had eaten them, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored, as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blighted, with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me." And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God had shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The seven thin and ill-favored cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blighted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I spoke unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty through all the land of Egypt. There shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh seek out a man discreet, wise, set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Let them gather all the food in those good years to come, and lay the grain up under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for storage in the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto the servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you. Thou shalt be over my house according unto the word. Shall all my people be ruled? Only in the throne will I be greater than you." Shall we pray? Our Father, again, we come and we look to you. We pray that you would open our hearts as we look at a servant, a faithful servant, one who yielded himself to your will. We pray as we think about him tonight and think of his sufferings, but think of how you exalted him. We pray that our own hearts would be encouraged and that we would seek to honor and glorify you in our actions, even as Joseph did with his. We ask for your blessing on our evening tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure many of us here are familiar with the story of Joseph, a story which actually began in Genesis chapter 15. Began with the call of Abraham, or Abram, out of Ur of the Chaldees. But you might remember in Genesis chapter 15 that God gave Abram a promise. He'd given him promises before. If he'd leave the land, that he would be promised a land, seed, and blessing, but he had no heir. And in fact, he told God, let Eliezer, my steward, be the heir. But God told Abram that he would not be an heir, and God gave him an unconditional promise that all the nations of the world would be blessed through his seed, that he would have a seed. And I won't go into details, but you had that unconditional covenant cut there in Genesis chapter 15. But God told Abram something very interesting. He said that of a surety, your seed will dwell in a land that is not theirs, amongst the people is not theirs, for some 400 years. And then they would come out with great substance. And that was a promise that was given in the midst of that covenant of Genesis chapter 15. We really see in the story of Joseph how it was that the nation of Israel, the seed of Abram, ended up in Egypt. We look in our story as we think about it, and as we think of Joseph himself, of how he was a son of Jacob. The Bible tells us that Jacob loved him, and he was Jacob's favorite, given a coat of many colors. We're also told how Joseph had many dreams. And in those dreams, he mentioned how his brothers, and even Jacob himself, would one day bow to him, how he would have rule and authority. Of course, you remember how his brothers were jealous of him, how his father sent him to Dothan to find his brothers. The brothers saw him coming and said, let us kill him, see what becomes of his dreams. We read that they threw him in a pit, and it was decided by Judah, well, let's make a little money off of this deal. And they sold him to the Ishmaelites or Midianites there that were going down to Egypt, sold him for 20 pieces of silver, two apiece for the 10 brothers. And so they chained him up and sent him down into Egypt. You can almost hear the brothers calling out to him, let's see what comes of your dreams now, Joseph. That he's carried away in chains. We know how that he ended up in Egypt and was purchased by Potiphar, and he's in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife makes advances on him. He said, how can I do this great wickedness against God? We know that his brothers took him and stripped him of that coat of many colors and used that coat to deceive their father. He was betrayed again by a dress, and that Potiphar's wife betrayed him and that she had his garment. And so then he was cast into the prison, the captain of the guard. But it was there in the prison of the captain of the guard that the butler and the baker come. And you remember the story of how they had their dreams, and how Joseph specifically interpreted their dreams. They had dreams, they were downcast. But Joseph, he showed compassion on them. And he ministered to them to the point that they shared with him their dreams. And in fact, he said, do not interpretations belong to God? And he heard their dreams, and it's instructive for us to know that he interpreted those dreams specifically. He told the chief cupbearer that he would be restored. Now, when he heard the baker's dream, he didn't say to the baker, well, you'll be okay too, you see. He didn't sugarcoat it. He told the baker that, yes, you're going to be hung in accordance to your dream. But he told the chief cupbearer, remember me. I've been wrong. I shouldn't be in this prison. We know that the cupbearer and the baker went on Pharaoh's birthday, and the baker was hung, as was said by Joseph. But the chief cupbearer was restored. But yet we read, yet did not the chief butler, the cupbearer, remember Joseph, but forgot him. He forgot him. So there is Joseph in prison. He thought he was about to get out, but to no avail. But then the time came when Pharaoh dreamed dreams. And none of the magicians could interpret for him. But he knew there was something significant about these dreams. Probably never had anything like it before. He knew it was a destiny. Didn't know what it meant. Then the chief cupbearer said, there is a Hebrew servant. There is a man. Pharaoh couldn't find a man, but there was a man ministering in the prison of the captain of the guard. He recounts the story of how he interpreted the dreams correctly. And we read in verse 14 of chapter 41, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. His name was called. He was ready. God refines us. God purifies us in our life. Joseph went through quite a purifying process. Betrayed by his brothers. Falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. But yet, in all of this, he was concerned about not sinning against God. He was quick to give and interpreting the dreams to the butler and the baker. He said, do not interpretations belong to God? And so God was maturing him, refining him, purifying him for the purpose that he would have him to do. You see, God, way back in Genesis chapter 15, had given a promise to Abram. And he's going to fulfill that promise. He's going to take the seed of Abraham, and he's going to pull them out of Canaan, a wicked place, where they were about to be assimilated by the inhabitants there. And they're about to come into Egypt. And God is going to do this. And God is going to do this through a man who has been through much great suffering and anguish. And maybe he thought that he didn't know how those dreams that he dreamed would be fulfilled. But yet, God would make good on his promise. His promise to Abram way back. But also in the revelation that he gave to Joseph himself. But yet Joseph had to go through that refining process. He had to go through that purifying process. So that when his name was called, he would be ready. So that when that purpose that God had destined him to do, he would be ready for that moment. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in before Pharaoh. Pharaoh tells him, I've heard you can interpret dreams. Listen to what Joseph says, and this is, I think, one of the most sound theological verses you can find in the Bible. Listen to verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give." Not in me. God shall give. God has to bring us to that point. He has to bring us to the end of ourselves, to where we say, it's not us, it's not me. God will give. Not in me, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. True peace comes from God. Again, I think this is sound theology. This is where all of us have to be brought to. We can plan, we can scheme, we can think about the future and think we know what's best for ourselves, but yet we have to yield ourselves to God. And we have to come to the end of ourselves, where we finally say, it's not me. Nothing I can do. I don't deserve anything. God will give. God will give. This is what the refining process does. The purifying process in our lives. See, those of us who are Christians, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, God wants to bring us to a point where we're being conformed into the image of Christ, and where those things in our life that aren't Christ-like are being purged so that we become like Christ. We have to be brought to that point that it's not in me, but God shall give. God shall give. We read where Pharaoh then recounted Joseph his dreams. Dreams of the cows and of the stalks of grain. And how the ill-favored and the blighted devoured that which was healthy and fresh. No one could tell Pharaoh what this meant. But we see in verse 25, Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Well, Pharaoh had two dreams, but its interpretation, it meant one thing. The dream of Pharaoh is one. God had shown Pharaoh, notice this, what he is about to do. He's revealed this to Pharaoh. And he's given Joseph the wisdom to know. And we, again, verse 25. This is what God is about to do. Verse 28. This is the thing I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do. God is about to accomplish his plan and his purposes that he determined. Look at verse 32. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass. Established by God. Established by God. Well, we know the Egyptians, they worship many gods. But here Joseph is given testimony to the true, the living God. Isaiah gave testimony to the true and living God in Isaiah chapter 46. There in this portion of Isaiah, Isaiah is taken into the future. Isaiah lived in the days of the Assyrians. But God had revealed to him how that eventually Jerusalem would be conquered and destroyed by the Babylonians, but that in God's time he would give forth, allow a remnant to go back. And in Isaiah 46 and in the chapters before, he talks about the futility and the powerlessness of the idols that were being worshipped. But let's break in that context, verse 9, and in Isaiah 46:9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is no one else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And then Isaiah goes on to say how he would call a ravenous bird, and again the Medes and the Persians, and Cyrus, and how Cyrus would allow that remnant to go back, and how Babylon would be judged. But these things, this is the true and living God Isaiah's given testimony to. There is none that is like him. His counsel shall stand. He will do his pleasure. Earlier, Isaiah 45, verse 20, assemble yourselves, come, draw near together, all you who have escaped the nations. They have no knowledge that set up wood, that carved image, that pray unto a God that cannot save. And of course, in our day, we may not make idols of wood and bow down to them, but we do have our own idols, don't we? We kind of have our technology, our computers, our phones, our wireless, all these things that we think are going to save our society. And we look not to God. But Isaiah said, tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who have told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God, no one else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God. None else beside me. This was the God that Joseph was declaring to Pharaoh. We won't turn there, but remember in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel lived through that Babylonian captivity. And Daniel's an old man. And he's praying and he's reading the scriptures. And he's reading the book of Jeremiah in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2. I think it's around Jeremiah 25, Jeremiah 29, those verses there. Verses that we can read today. And Daniel is reading those verses, and he realizes that 70 years bowed up, God's going to allow that remnant to go back to the destroyed Jerusalem. Isaiah saw it in the future. Jeremiah also spoke of these things. Daniel was living it. And he's reading Jeremiah, and he's reading in the scrolls how God's going to move and how God is going to accomplish his plan and his purpose, and his counsel shall stand. He will do his pleasure. And so Daniel reads it and he realizes that 70 years bowed up, and he starts praying. And he prays in the will of God. He confesses the sins of the people, and he takes his place with the people. He says, we have sinned. He confesses the sin, and he calls on God to restore Jerusalem. He prays in the will of God. We remember how our Lord Jesus taught the disciples to pray. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we go to the scriptures, and we see that God's counsel has been given to us in the scriptures, and we can see the will of God. We can see what God is going to do to this world. And the Holy Spirit can take the scripture and individually apply it to our own lives. And as we see the will of God, we pray to God that his will be done. His will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will, his counsel does stand. He does what pleases him. So thankful that his counsel stood and that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, He could have easily turned his back on lost men and allowed us to destroy ourselves. But he didn't. And Peter refers to this in his message on the day of Pentecost. He said, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. God's counsel stands. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world, and Christ died on the cross for our sins. And he is risen. God raised him up. It was not possible for our sin, for the grave to hold him. This is the counsel of God. He does as he pleases. And we know that in the book of Revelation, we're told that he, and he alone, has authority to take the scroll and loose the seals. And the trumpets will sound, and we're told in Revelation chapter 11 that when the seventh trumpet sounds, we hear this: the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. All of human history is moving to that point. It's moving to that point. That's God's counsel. It's going to happen. And great judgment is going to come in this world. You see, this is established by God. And we go back to Genesis, and we see that Joseph, again, even as he did in the dreams with the butler and the baker, he doesn't sugarcoat it. He says, famine's coming. Famine is coming. This is established by God. God is going to do this. This will shortly come to pass. And of course, the scriptures are clear as to the counsel of God that has been established, that is going to come to pass, as to this world that will pass away. But we think of Joseph here, and he's made it very clear that God's going to do this. How is Pharaoh going to respond? How's he going to respond? Well, Joseph doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. He could have just given Pharaoh the interpretation and said, "Well, that's it, Pharaoh, I'm out of here." He didn't do that. Joseph acted on God's revelation. See, faith works. Faith leads to action. Look at verse 33. He gives counsel. He said, "Now let Pharaoh seek out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land and take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Let them gather all the food in those good years that come to lay up grain under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be stored in the land against the 7 years of famine." Now watch this. "That food shall be stored in the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." This is going to happen, Pharaoh. This is going to happen. He's just not out prophesying the future. He's given Pharaoh counsel into how to prepare for the future. And he gives him a word, a revelation concerning what he's about to do. Because it's going to happen. See, he didn't sugarcoat it. Famine is coming. The land is going to be desolate. Again, the Bible is clear as to where this world is headed. God gives us opportunity. He may call us call our name, will we be ready to speak a word for him if he, as he opens the door for us to do so? Because faith leads to action. Faith works. It's interesting that we have to challenge our own selves, examine our own hearts. Are we responsible and faithfully acting out the knowledge that God gives us? Of course, his brothers, the patriarchs, Stephen pointed out, they weren't faithful in this. No, they were jealous of Joseph. Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt. But God was with him. And God rescued him out of his afflictions and gave him Pharaoh and wisdom. He gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt and all of his household. Stephen was reminding them, reminding the Sanhedrin, how often God would send them leaders, send them prophets, they would reject them. Started even back in the days of Joseph. Yes, the message may be rejected, but that does not mean that the message should not be proclaimed. May we be faithful to the knowledge that God has given us. And as we think about these things, we recognize that Joseph recommended that he keep in store food to prepare for the famine, the 7 bad years. Of course, we can apply this to ourselves. You know, all that we do in this world, the material things, the stuff, it's going to pass away. Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither wrath nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. And so that's an exhortation for us. In light of the counsel, in light of the truth that God has given us in his word, it should exhort us to lay up treasures in heaven in preparation for that future day. But we see in our story that Joseph gives Pharaoh an interpretation and gives him wise counsel as to how to prepare for the future. Now we see Pharaoh's response. And it would have been easy for Pharaoh to say, you know, things are going well. Economy's good in Egypt. What you say is interesting, Joseph, but I think we'll be okay. He could have sent him back to prison. But we read that the thing that Joseph said in verse 37, the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all of his servants. Yeah, Stephen was right. God was with him. He rescued him out of his afflictions. He rescued Joseph out and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh. And we see that. Pharaoh hears what Joseph's interpretation is of his dreams. He hears what his counsel is, that he's got to lay up treasure. And, you know, we think of treasure, silver and gold. But, you know, when the land is desolate and wiped out, food and water become treasure. He hears the counsel of Joseph, and this is good in his eyes. Good in his eyes. Those of us who are Christians who know the Lord Jesus, we know, based on the Word of God, that God is going to judge this world. He's going to judge individuals. It's appointed to the man once to die and then the judgment. He's going to judge this whole world system. All of these things are going to pass away. And in grace and humility, in love and compassion, we're to share the gospel message of how Christ came, how God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, and how Christ died on the cross for sinners and arose from the dead, that anyone who would put their trust in him would be saved. The message of the gospel, the message of the cross, that's what brings peace. We all have to be brought to the end of ourselves, or we say, it's not in me, God will give. We can't save ourselves, we don't deserve anything. But God in his grace has given salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're hearing you've never trusted Christ, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Pharaoh heard the testimony of Joseph about the one true God and how the one true God was going to bring about a famine. He heard and he listened. And he took Pharaoh took Joseph's counsel. Verse 38, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as a man like this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. What a testimony. I can't think of a better testimony for any of us who are Christians to have, that someone could look at us and look at our life and say, there's a person that the Spirit of God's in. There's a person that manifests the fruit of the Spirit of God. Pharaoh told Joseph, for as much as God had shown thee all this, and there is none so discreet and wise as thou art, you shall be over my house according unto thy word, shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And so the dreams that Joseph dreamed, he dreamed that brought about such jealousy from his brothers, those dreams are about to be fulfilled. It's interesting, we didn't read the verses, but look what Pharaoh does for Joseph. Verse 41, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. Notice he takes the ring from his hand and puts it on Joseph's hand. That ring of authority. That ring where Joseph's word was rule, was law. In Egypt, that ring would seal whatever law, whatever word he said. Notice the garments. And Pharaoh arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. His father clothed him in a coat of many colors. Of course, that was used to send him into slavery and deceive his father. He was betrayed by a garment, by Potiphar's wife, but now he is clothed in fine linen. You can't help but think of the purity. Again, the refining process gets rid of the impurities, doesn't it? That's what God seeks to do for us. He refines us. He brings about the difficulties, the trials, the struggles, the stresses, that we might be conformed into the image of Christ, that we might be purified, that the dross might be removed. Notice it says that Pharaoh put a gold chain around his neck. In Psalm 105, the psalmist is recounting the history of Israel. And he recounts this, that the famine, Psalm 105, 16. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all the supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron, enslaved. He had no control over anything. But yet, what is it now? Pharaoh puts a gold chain about his neck, that collar of iron replaced by a gold chain, speaking of freedom. And he made him to ride in the second chariot that he had, and they crowd before him, bow the knee. He made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. So we close, we can't help but think of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. We think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But God has highly exalted him. No one in this world has suffered as the Lord Jesus has suffered. No one in this world who has walked in this world could die on the cross for the sins of men, but the Lord Jesus did. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. You see, this is the counsel of God. This has been established by God. It's going to happen. Every knee will bow. Things in earth, things under the earth, every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Then he shall reign forever and ever. And glory of glories, those of us who are Christians, we will reign with him. We will reign with him. Even as Joseph was with Pharaoh, we'll reign with Christ. Amazing thought. And so if you're here tonight and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, judgment is coming. Desolation is coming. Believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Shall we pray? Our Father, again, we look to you. Thank you for your many blessings, undeserved blessings that you've given to all of us. We do thank you for the story of Joseph. Help us to be faithful even as he was faithful to the truth that you revealed to him. Help us to yield to the purifying and refining process in our life, knowing that these things conform us into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus. May we remember that whatever sufferings we may be going through, no one has suffered as the Lord Jesus. He understands us. He knows us. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. And we be encouraged by these thoughts. And Father, if there's one who's never trusted the Lord Jesus, open their hearts and their mind, even as Pharaoh heard the testimony of the true God and what he was about to establish and bring to pass. And Father, if there's anyone here who's unsaved, may they be convicted of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. They might bow the knee in this life and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to you and ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.